Blog Talk Radio.
Oh gosh. Hello everyone, and welcome to Tweaking Your Vibrations with Val and Angela today on this wonderful Sunday. Thank you for joining us. Today we're going to dish with fabulous guest speaker Maren Banta. She is going to be sharing her personal and professional journey of utilizing the law of attraction to manifest both inner and outer tangible results with ease, joy, and fun. And Valerie, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here, honey. Hello, hello.
How are you today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Oh, wow. I'm awesome. Just ascension stuff. Oh, my goodness. Going through ascension and having some symptoms and, you know, just...
And you're here, and you're here also in spite of that. So kudos
yes.
to you. I'm
oh,
glad
wow.
you're here.
Anybody, I don't know if our listening audience knows anything about ascension symptoms. If not, you know, you can always put that in a Google search and look it up. But wow, there's a lot of things that you can go through when you start to ascend, and headaches are one of them. And my goodness, I get them. They're off and on, but they're intense, and sometimes I forget that, you know, when you start, you know, to vibrate on a higher level, that can happen, and I totally forget, and I have to go to my peeps and have my peeps help me a little bit with it.
Yes, sirree. So we're here, and before we bring Maren out, I'm not sure, she might be experiencing some technical difficulties because I'm not seeing her online. But let me just go ahead and share a little bit about her background before we bring her out. And then if for some reason she might be experiencing, I'll jump off and go see if she's at her number and see if anything's happening. And then we'll have lovely Angela entertain our wonderful guest today. but anyway, Maren bought her first 35-millimeter camera back in May of 1977, and within 6 months realized how much her heart was seeing when photographing people. Over the next 10 years, she photographed over 100,000 people
wow.
through various venues. That's a lot of faces
yeah.
to photograph, and I'm excited to have her share more about that when she comes on. But during the time, she gave birth to a beautiful daughter, and she shifted her primary focus and occupation towards raising this delightful joy, all the while continuing photographing people just at a much lighter pace. She grew into recognizing and owning the truth of being a healing photographer during that time. Her tagline is "Portraits that celebrate who you really are." And not only was that just her tagline and mission statement, it was also contained in her overall commitment to capture that essence from everyone sitting in front of her camera. In 2000, Maren and I met online through a community called the GreatestNetworker.com, and it was on this online community that was specifically tailored to assist and support network marketers, which at that time, both of us had actually been involved in a couple different companies. During that time, she and I, with about 10 other participants, went through a year-long coaching practice, and it resulted in us both becoming certified network marketing coaches. We kind of went through our own, spreading our own wings, and in 2004, Maren was introduced to a company called Send Out Cards. She fell immediately in love with every aspect of their mission and purpose. The company's products and services definitely resonate with her own energies around celebration, and she has actively enjoyed amazing tangible results of success ever since. I've known Maren for close to 10 years, and I want to share that throughout the years, the one value that we hold in common is the ability to openly explore and work with products or services that resonate, honor, and acknowledge our inner gifts and talents as well. Being true to oneself amongst a world that attempts to cookie-cutter things can be a bit of a challenge at times. Yet in the overall journey, while acting upon whatever it takes to stand on that truth, we can find the process of what shows up will be completely worthwhile. And both of us have experienced various modes of that. Not only do I love Maren and I's fun and very eclectic kind of friendship, I also love and appreciate for her openly modeling the continued loyalty to her own inner process, and that nurtures the process of being true to her inner goddess and at the same time applying universal laws of attraction and manifestation so she can experience tangible results in her overall life and lifestyle. Since Angela and I love spotlighting stories that contain magic found, when you mix your higher consciousness and mingle that with the physical marketplace, we are excited that Maren happily agreed to come on and share a little bit of her personal journey. Today's conversation is going to be including a celebration of staying true to oneself while exploring and photographing people, coaching, and sending greeting cards and what they have in common. So without further ado, we want to get this party started. And right now, it may be that we have that Maren has technical difficulties. Angela, why don't you share a little bit more about the ascension process?
Sure.
And what we'll do is I'll check and see where our lovely guest is. I'll be right back, hon.
Okay. Earlier I mentioned something about symptoms of ascension, and what it is symptoms of spiritual awakening. What happens is when you start to vibrate on a higher level of energy, there's particular changes that happen to your body physically and spiritually. And some of the physical things are you may have change in sleep patterns. You may not be able to sleep, or you may be sleeping more than you would normally sleep, like, you know, perhaps all day. And then the restlessness, you know, you might not be getting any sleep at all. And it varies. I've had both occur, you know, the sleeplessness and the sleeping, you know, all day. Both of those have happened to me. So I guess it just all depends on where you are. One of the other ones is headaches or some kind of and they're not really intense headaches all the time. They come and go during the day. It's different times of the day, but it's what it is with those is that there's a energy is vibrating at the top of your head, and that this can also be triggered whenever you are in crowds or you're in a place where you're kind of vibrating. Your energy level is at a different frequency, like on a scale from 1 to 10, you might be at a 9, and where you are is like at a level 2, and so it'll start to affect you because you're not at the same frequency as your surroundings. But you'll get headaches, and then there's another symptom that I could best explain by, like, you can get emotional. And this can come all of a sudden. You may be happy all of a sudden, or you may be crying just, you know, for no particular reason. With those, your body is kind of releasing things at that point. So I think before I go on, and you can find these, yeah, you can find these, a list of these things, that there's a bunch of different websites, but just Google it, spiritual ascension symptoms or ascension symptoms, and you'll be able to find it. But I think Maren is on with us now.
Yes,
I
am.
that crying for no reason. Okay.
I'm pretty sure a lot of us women can relate to that.
How about laughing for no real good reason?
That too.
Well, Maren, you missed your wonderful, wonderful segue into you coming online. So, but that's okay because it's on the recording. So, honey, you can go back and listen to how we introduced you because it was really, it was cool.
I'm sure it was amazing. And, oh, my gosh, my face is so red. And so now moving right along.
That's okay. We understand the technical expansions. Sometimes the energy kind of just totally disconnects us from the show. We have to, like, call back in. So you never know around here.
You do see that happen from time to time, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. So we're so glad that you joined us. Thank you, thank you.
Yay. Oh, thank you so much for having me, and really, really, I feel so honored for being here. So
we were talking about introducing about how being true to oneself and the commonalities between photographing people, coaching, and sending out greeting cards. So let's just kind of think about what we want to start with your acknowledgement about being a healing photographer. We had shared with everyone that you have photographed 100,000 people, and that's nothing to sneeze at. And so one has to love what they're doing to experience that many connections. Can you share with our listening friends what you personally experienced when you owned the healing aspect?
You know, Val, that is so accurate. You know, even though I made really nice money with that photography, I always said there just isn't enough money to work this hard, you know. There just isn't, because it's a lot more physical labor than one would assume. I was a traveling photographer, so I was constantly taking down and setting up my whole photo rig, the lights, the backgrounds, all of it. Okay,
wow.
So very physical. And photographing, say, children in a daycare center, and I did a lot of that kind of work. Boy, five-year-olds can be really fat. even when they're the skinny little ones, you know, start feeling really heavy. So physically, it's an awful lot of work. But even beyond that, it's the emotional and energetic coming out of yourself to meet that other person and to celebrate that other person. So unless I was passionately in love with it, I could not have done it for even a few weeks, much less 10 years.
That was a big thing. I mean, and one of the things I loved about you were talking about is that when you started owning the healing aspect, bringing that to the environment must have been pretty cool. As far as what did you see that shift, like when you started looking for that that celebration? And I think one of the mantras that you were talking about is, let me look up here because I loved it. It was when you had shared that, let me go back here, your tagline, portraits that celebrate who you really are. Did you find when you started owning that celebration and who people really are that you actually were able to, they just kind of changed in front of you?
Absolutely. And you know, Val, I would tell people, and I still do absolutely claim this because it is part of who I am, if I hear someone saying, oh, I never take a good picture, I say, I can heal you because I can. because it's such an energetic exchange. There's all that technical stuff and all of that physical stuff, and all of that really does count. But the huge thing is the energy. And when I step behind the lens with the intention of celebrating who this person is, magical things happen. And
you know, I can see that. I can see that. Because I used to be one of those people that would say, you know, oh, I don't take good pictures. I don't like to get in front of the camera. And it's since my attitude about that has changed my attitude changed to it, and I can see something different in my pictures now. It's not what I used to see. So I totally get that.
And isn't that sweet? And can you articulate what it was you used to see that you didn't? That just took
what
my attention.
I used to see that little girl that was so ashamed from where she came from, so ashamed of her last name, so ashamed of, and it wasn't because what anybody told me is it was because of what. Nobody, I felt like invisible. I didn't feel like this pretty little girl. I always felt like I was ugly, and because of certain things that happened. And so that's what I would see when I would get, when someone would come in front of me with a camera, I would freeze. Because I'm like, oh my God, they're going to capture that ugly side of me, and I don't want that to happen. And that's what it felt like. And when I got over that, and when I started looking in the mirror, forcing myself to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I look good. I think I look cute.
That girl is.
That all changed. It all now when I look at my pictures, I'm like, hey, that's a pretty good picture. Hey, that's a pretty good picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not overanalyzing everything, and I'm not feeling like I did in the past when my head went somewhere else when somebody, you know, came out with the camera.
Boy, thanks. You just did such a great job of articulating that from the other side. Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And
really
it's amazing the stuff that we make up and
mm-hmm.
make up out of nowhere about that. And so I feel like I'm going down a different rabbit hole here. Vale, do you want to redirect?
No. I think that, you know, this is one of the things that we're going to segue is because, you know, we're in a huge transition out in our world. And so I'm, you know, as well, I'm keeping the structure of our minutes and, you know, honoring that time and stuff. I'm also seeing that, you know, we want to add spontaneous, you know, we want to just look at the energy. But, you know, how to combine our gifts and talents is I think, going to be moving forward in our world, going to be very important. So I'd love to just kind of allow people to see how the dots can be connected. Do you see what I'm saying? And you know, I kind of outlined it with that understanding today. So, no, I love that it's going down a different channel because we can always kind of segue back into, you know.
Oh, very cool.
The other things that you're doing. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
You know, that connecting the dots about, and I don't even remember who introduced the idea to me, but I'm sure that the languaging was transferable skills. And I started doing tax returns working with my mom when I was 16. So I started doing tax returns professionally when I was 16, and our practice at that time did 4,000 returns a year, which way back in the day, that was a pretty healthy practice. And that was in the day of carbon paper, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Actually write out the returns.
I say that was definitely healthy with the carbon. I remember those days.
and on the surface, what do tax returns have in common with portrait photography? And my answer is a whole lot more than you'd think. So I really love encouraging people to look at their skills with an eye toward what's transferable here. And who was I was listening to Jean Houston just the other day. And she was talking about how much she hates to write. Now, that was kind of shocking coming from Jean Houston. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. How many books has this woman written? And the answer is tons and far more articles. Really, I mean, books, I think, are well over 50. Articles are in the hundreds, okay? So she just writes and writes and writes, and then she does these wisdom schools that she does a lot of writing for. And she said, I hate to write, but you know what? I've always loved to cook. So I look at writing a book as though it's putting together a meal.
Mm.
And it's just a trick she plays mentally and, again, energetically that makes the things she writes really delicious.
Wow, that's a great visual. That is a great visual of connecting the dots.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, to look at writing from that aspect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And for me, there's a real kinship between doing a truly great portrait and doing a tax return that saves somebody, like one of my very favorite tax returns ever, and I don't do tax returns professionally anymore, so please, no one call me about that.
Don't tell her, send that card, never to do that.
No, I don't do tax returns professionally anymore, but there's one of my favorite all-time returns was, and this was so many years ago, but I still have such a vivid recall of it. It was a man who at that time was making a decent amount of money, though he had 7 kids. So that money was going a lot further than typically. And then one of the children needed, I think, a kidney transplant. And And the family was saddled with most of the expense of the kidney transplant. I was able to save him having a tax liability for the next 10 years because I knew how to ask the question the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was huge. And there's a real similarity between offering someone that kind of freedom and celebrating, because, boy, imagine, no, don't, and don't spend much time imagining it, but the weight of having that kind of medical expense and then it not being fully tax deductible.
Right.
That's huge. And to be able to lift that weight and offer that relief, there's a, and I don't know if it sounds like such a reach, but to me there's a real similarity in being able to produce a wonderful portrait of someone.
Well, you were talking about the word, the key word that I picked up was the celebration, and there's a freedom. It's like there's a freedom when you can capture the soul of someone in a photo. You know, remember Indians did not want people to take pictures?
Sure.
Because they were afraid of it stealing their soul in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, tax returns are kind of like we have to pay them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes I'm sure people feel like it's stealing a little bit of their soul. But, you know, to be able to celebrate and give somebody freedom, I know I love having that ability. I mean, you know, it has that thread in there of feeling a little bit more freer. Both on the inside and outside. So I just thought that was kind of cool to thread that. Did you find that celebration was similar to taking a good picture? Is that kind of where the dot connected for you, Erin?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it, Val. And then also there's the establishing the intimacy that's necessary in getting complete disclosure from someone so that I can maybe see something that's tax deductible that didn't occur to them. And that happens a lot where it'll just be conversation and I'll go, you what? What happened? There's a tax advantage to that that maybe they had no clue about. But
oh,
if
I
we
love
hadn't
that.
Had that intimate flow and intimate connection going, I might have never known, you know? And so moving away from the taxes about it, though, I just wanted to point out that it's in looking for transferable skills, it's really good to really reframe them and reach way outside the box and see what kinds of connections can happen. But I think there's a more obvious and direct connection between celebrating who someone really is in a portrait and then celebrating relationships through pictures and words, which is what my greeting card business is all about.
I love that. Well, before we fan out that beautiful fun, the greeting card business, you know, we wanted to kind of enter into this because some of the things that you demonstrated, even just in sharing this and connecting the dots, have to do with some of the coaching skills that you and I both enjoyed learning about when we were connected through greatestnetworker.com. I
that
know
was
that
such
you
a
under-
great time, Val.
Yeah. It was a very expansive, very discovering, very enlightening time, and I wouldn't take everything that we experienced. I wouldn't take a dime. I mean, it was priceless because it really activated so many things within to without that I mean, I'm still celebrating and still putting together. So, yeah, thanks. I love that the experience was not only where you and I met, but also just all the directions that some of those memories took us in. And, you know, I understand you love universal laws of attraction, and that's one of the things we love about our show. And so I know that you utilize them on a daily basis. When you, in regards to your send out card business, what is it? Well, let me go back here to the coaching stuff. when you and I met, and not only were you the Tuesday greeter goddess for the teleconference calls that were going on, kind of similar to what we do here.
And from time to time, I'd actually have a guest who wasn't there.
Yeah. This is true. We both invested in that. No, that's okay, sweetie, because you're here now. So, that makes up for anything. But, just some of the time that we spent a lot of time and energy there, and we talked about coaching, and how did that process support you where you were at the time as well as where you were desiring to expand? Share a little bit about how coaching's really supported you, not only then but now. How does that help you?
Well, one of the biggest things, Val, that I take away from, you and I went through a year-long coaching program to become certified network marketing coaches. And one of the hugest things that I took away from that year, so much value, but one of the really biggest ones was learning how to listen to people without an agenda of my own. Now, that's fairly common when we're talking about coaching and learning how to listen to people. It's commonly called active listening. So that's when I'm listening without an agenda of my own. I'm listening not waiting for my chance to prove you wrong or my chance to speak, not judging you right or wrong, simply listening. So that's common. That's a fairly common practice, and it's commonly called active listening. But our mentor went a bit further and encouraged us to listen to people and listen for their values. That is so powerful. It might sound pretty simple on the surface, but, I don't want to offend anyone's politics by what I'm about to say. But I found out that if I could get into a conversation with George Bush, either one of them, listening for their values, I could fall totally in like with them.
Even though they have a different agenda than you do.
This is what I'm saying, I'm able to put that into practice on a pretty regular basis, that I'm able to enter, and now I have to have my coach's hat squarely on, and I have to really have myself in alignment to do this, but it's not a big project to do it, that muscle is pretty much in shape. So when I go into a conversation with a determination to listen for someone else's values, I find we have so much more in common than we don't when it comes to what's really important, what really counts, so that all of those differences that might have us like screaming at each other in a debate, or I just got off of jury duty. Oh, okay. lock 12 people in a room and tell them to come to a decision. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but when we really listen for the other's values, we come away knowing how much more we have in common than we don't. And that's huge. Go ahead.
That brings me, it reminds me of, I had to write a paper on, because I'm from Louisiana, and I had to write a paper on, it was the Confederate flag, and it was for or against, and I had to go in. I had a neighbor, actually, that wore his, he had the Confederate flag on his shirt, and he wore his shirt, and he always spoke to me, and we always spoke to each other, but he had several shirts with that flag on it, and I decided I was going to talk to him about it. And being black, I'm like, okay, am I going to be able to put my feelings aside and find out how, what's so important to him about this flag? And, I sat with him and I talked with him and I totally got his side. It wasn't about what the media or what people, the fear of all of that was. It had nothing to do with anything about hurting anybody else. It just had everything to do with how he felt about it. His view about it was totally different than mine.
Wow, that was possibly life-changing, Andrew.
It was. it was totally life changing because the whole every time I saw that flag or saw somebody wearing it or saw somebody flying it, it angered me. And then talking to him, knowing him, talking to him, him being, you know, my neighbor and we had, you know, sort of a, that, you know, neighbor to neighbor relationship, and then finally talking to him, I saw it from a totally different aspect, and I never looked at that flag the same way again.
Wow. That is huge. And I can really identify with a lot of what you've just said, Angela, because I tell people I just look like a white girl. My daddy was a Creole man, you know. And you're from New Orleans, so, or Louisiana, so you understand what I'm saying. So, yeah. Boy, that's really deep.
That was I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. And then when I made an A on the paper, I turned the paper in, and I was so, whether I would have made an A on it or not, that was just, it made a difference in the way that I thought. And that was the whole lesson for me right there. Whether I made an A or a C or a D, whatever I would have made on the paper would not have mattered.
Boy, talk about dramatically changing, because I just got to imagine that every time you saw somebody with, you know, that, and I live in Atlanta now, so, I mean, I see it all the time, you know, and it's actually going to have an impact on me now, because I'm not going to be able to look at those bumper stickers, which are everywhere, you know, or those T-shirts or jackets, which, again, are everywhere. You know, and I've come to be, since I've been here especially, a lot more tolerant, but that's what it's felt to me like is tolerance. And so now you're impacting me with, no, take another look, you know. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, just like you just said about the ripple effects of listening and Maren, in the way that we listen, I love that. And one of the things I wanted to also bring up is with that coaching and the listening, is creating those listening skills, how did that impact you having a relationship with you? I mean, really listening to yourself, because I know for me it was powerful. It was probably one of the first times learning how I listened to myself and how I supported myself and how I wasn't. Did you find that same experience in that process?
Well, I'm not going to claim that it was the same because I don't have clarity on what your experience of it was. So maybe we could share a little bit about that. But certainly for me, it made me respect myself quite a bit more. It made me listen with more patience, even to the negative talk. I mean, is that what you're talking about, Val? Just the general talk that we have in our heads, and a lot of it is negative. Not all of it, but a lot of it. It made me look deeper at, well, what do you mean about that? That kind of way. And what can you share with us about that, Val?
Well, you hit the nail on the head about listening, because this is one of the things that, you know, even you and I were talking about this. In listening to ourselves, we can either listen to us based on our conditionings and our beliefs or our concepts. But I think when we were working on that listening skill, and you talked about not having an agenda, it went deeper. It went deeper, and it tapped into listening to us at our very soul essence. And being able to listen to that, which then what you shared about, you learned about how you were listening to yourself and how you could kind of create it from that place. So there was a deeper thing about listening to the words and the music. And that was what was really powerful for me, was to see how many times I was so hard on myself, how I wasn't compassionate. And that does filter out with filter outside of you with the relationships that you have.
Absolutely.
So I was loving that, you know, you brought that listening skill in, because that was a big thing that we went through in that coaching experience together, was to listen to the words and the music of someone, not just what they were saying, not the hat that they wore, but to listen to their essence and find that essence in coming up. and then coming from that coaching place. So I'm glad you kind of brought that up because that was a spontaneous yes. Which I love. I love when, you know, the osmosis of these calls can kind of bring that up. I love when we have moments like that. So, yay!
You know, along those same lines, I find that I have almost no tolerance with myself for saying, well, that's just because that's just who I am. I just believe that because. Or do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where I used to be, you know, because always seemed like a good enough reason to me.
Well, yeah, based on that list, you were listening with to your conditioning. And so, you know, you get naked when you start listening to who you are.
Yeah.
You get to find out how many masks you wear.
And sometimes they're jiggly.
Yeah.
Who wants that?
So, yeah, there's more of a deeper awakening when you start really allowing yourself to listen without an agenda, not only to yourself but with others, and it gets beyond the conditions. And, you know, this kind of segues into the law of attraction too, because a lot of people say, oh, I want to attract. If you're attracting based on your conditions and your beliefs, and those beliefs and conditions have boxes around them, guess what? You're attracting the same results based on those beliefs. And a lot of people are frustrated right now, Maren, with the conditions and the beliefs that they continue to create. You know, they still create the same results based on the fact of how they're listening to themselves, if they're listening to themselves with those conditional boxes. And that's what was really powerful with, you know, one of our intentions for the show is to start creating that higher conscious thinking, that higher consciousness, connecting to your soul, listening to that place, and then attracting the outer circumstances that are in alignment with that. And that's why, you know, I loved having you on the show today, because it, you know, we look at your photography and your coaching, and now we're going to kind of segue into how you attracted the company that you work with based on your inner gifts and talents, based on how you expanded those out into the marketplace, and then you met and married this particular company. So I want you to share with us what your experience was around Send Out Cards, because we learned that you love, love, love this company and how it was a beautiful, beautiful marriage into that. So share that with us.
Well, I do love it. I totally love it. And At the same time, I'm so aware that there is no one-size-fits-all. Things have to fit each one of us individually. And I had tried, you know, first I fell in love with the industry and fell in love with the idea of network marketing. And it took a good probably 10 years from the first exposure where I said, wow, this is a cool idea, for me to finally find Send Out Cards, or for them to actually get up and running, because I was one of the early distributors. and it just so combined so many of my values that what's really the most important stuff for me, and certainly celebrating people and celebrating relationships and making record of special events. That's always been really, really, really big for me. Although, you know, it could have been, I did look at, you know, some scrapbooking companies, and that wasn't the magical fit. So somehow, you know, I mean, looking deeper, I can see that there are things about this company from top down that just resonate and fit for me. And I don't want to make this a commercial about, you know, me or my business. I just want to really underline and dig deep about, we all got to find whatever that perfect fit is. Finding a network marketing company, boy, that's as big as finding a life partner, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that unique and that individual, you know? my husband of 24 years would not be a perfect fit for everyone, and I'm glad about that. But then no matter what kind of stories we want to spin about it, Richard Gere isn't a perfect fit for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple of divorces, you know, and I don't know how many times George Clooney has been married, you know, but can you imagine him not being a perfect fit? Yeah, I can. Anyway. So I think it's the same thing is true about network marketing companies, you know, that you have to not only find a product that you love, because I've got tons of scrapbooks here from a really prominent network marketing company or direct selling company. But that company wasn't my perfect fit. Even though I love their products, still 20 years later, I'm still using their products. But it wasn't, the business structure wasn't right for me. So I think we have to look at all aspects of it. And I don't even know if there's anything like a checklist to offer to people. I don't think so. I saw someone sent me a greeting card with a DVD in it. And Val, I mean, you know, we've already talked about my background is fine art portrait photography, and I've also been like a custom printer in photography and stuff. So I'm really picky about how photographs look. And 5 years ago, because my anniversary was last Sunday, 5 years ago, the greeting card that this person sent to me, the printing was awful. It was embarrassing, you know. It was embarrassing. And that's not so anymore, by the way, guys. I mean, you know, I don't want to do a commercial for send out cards, but our printers are state of the art. And I have no hesitation about going to artists and photographers. But 5 years ago, I did.
Exactly. Well, I love the fact that you blended this. This is a thing that I want to share with people. It's a vehicle that fits for you. And
mm-hmm.
and the concept about network marketing and you know, what I love about it is when it's a fit aligned with who you are and your gifts and talents, it's effortless. When it's not a fit, and Marin and I know this personal experiences, by trying out several companies. When it's not, it feels like nails on a chalkboard.
There you go, back to yes. There isn't enough money to compensate you for how hard you have to work.
Mm-hmm. There is, and I'm going to tell you, the biggest thing is when it's not a fit, talking to other people about something that looks nice or feels good or whatever, you want to run the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole industry is about giving a vehicle that people that didn't go and get a law degree, didn't go out and was a superstar, it's a vehicle that people can share amongst each other. And out of sharing it, the byproduct is that you can create a lifestyle with. And
mm-hmm.
at the same time, it's also about finding the fit for you. And just because your friend's doing it doesn't mean
mm-hmm.
it's a fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And some people join for someone else's enthusiasm and not by law of attraction,
mm-hmm.
which is why, you know, Marin and I specifically, because I can tell you this is a fit for Marin. And one of the reasons why is because the art of crafting and creating something that is not only about a celebration but a visual celebration is huge for Marin. Huge. She photographed my daughter, and she brought out things about my daughter years ago that I didn't see, but that photograph caught it. So the visual creation, the visual celebration, the process of being able to talk with people about celebration, oh, my gosh, that's the queen of celebration, goddess of celebration is Marin. And she found and attracted that fit. And I believe that's one of the biggest reasons you're having tangible success, because it doesn't feel foreign to you. You just expanded your gifts and talents out into it and through the vehicle, in other words, yes?
And thank you so much for all that you've just said, Bill. And, you know, this just seems so important to me. When I signed up and sent out cards, I experienced immediate success, and I've maintained that for 5 years, okay? And it wasn't until maybe 2 years ago, it could have been three, that we got the state-of-the-art printers, okay? So up until then, it wasn't up to my artistic standards. And I don't know if that makes sense to anybody.
Yeah,
but
But
I knew it was a fit immediately, even though it didn't look like it. Okay.
I love this. I love the pre-paving, though. Look at the how you joined them, and this is powerful for everyone to listen to, because out of contrast, if you understand the laws of attraction, out of contrast, the very things you desire are activated more. And so even if you saw that there was a potential there, Maren, I believe that you saw that kept you going with them, like the potential of that opportunity of them becoming part of that, because it was a new company. And, of course, they were going to make changes, you know. But yet, at the same time, with you staying there, your desire to have them come up to that standard actually started becoming, you know, drawing close to you and drawing close to the company. So that's a powerful action. And not a lot of people realize that as well, because contrast is not a bad thing. It really activates. It provides clarity. It provides awareness. And, wow, you stayed with them. And you were, like, the top success in Atlanta. And I want to that's powerful because of your potential, because you stayed with them and because you, like I said, you're in alignment with them. Your success came. And it didn't mean that it didn't have challenges, and it didn't mean that it didn't have contrast, true?
Oh, I mean, I still tell my team, we're still in the pioneer stages here, guys. We're going to get arrows in our butts. That's what pioneers do, you know. I mean, we're at a level of $60 million in business this year, and we're on our way to being a billion-dollar company. That's a long way from here. So we're still pioneering, and, you know, we make changes and stuff. But what I really wanted to enforce or just visit back with real quickly, the magic of celebrating people that was present from the beginning was the idea of being able to send a card in about a minute at the cost of about a buck, making that connection. Making the connection is so much more important in terms of celebrating each other than the quality of the image. Okay, so I just wanted to visit that real quick, that it wasn't an empty wagon. You know, the idea of being able to send out a card in about a minute for about a buck when I wouldn't have sent it otherwise. That's what took my attention immediately and caused the success. But it wasn't really up to my standards artistically for 2 years, you know, and then they did catch up. So
I love that.
Thank you.
I totally understand that as an art, because I draw and I've taken art classes, and when you know other people can tell you all day long, wow, this is good, but if there's something in you that's saying, you know what, this is just something I'm not satisfied with it.
Right.
You're just not satisfied with it until you're satisfied with it.
Exactly. And so the choice was, what did I think was more important? And it still is. What do I think is most important? I think the human connection
is
most important. And so the rest of it came along, you know, the artistic quality.
Oh,
and
wow,
it was important to not sit around and wait for that to happen. You know,
the thing that I really believe about inspired action, though, I think
it was totally inspired.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think both of them married each other. And while we're here, Maren, I would love to just give a shout out to our chat guests, because we're back here having our little chat, instant chat messages. Mm-hmm. Cookie Trails, Kimberly, L. Kimberly, Sonia, Sun Love Tara, and What the Puck. Thank you for joining us on our chat line, on our instant chat group. We really, really appreciate you. Sonia, I just want to let you know, as a shout out, I love your work. So we'll have to definitely connect and perhaps have you on our show too. So thanks for joining us today. But Maren, that's the whole magic about you know, acting from that place of honoring and acknowledging what's inside you and seeing the evolution over the last, say, 10 to 15 years. I think that part of that success is that you're activating what was already successful inside, and you're just attracted a vehicle to have to expand that, yeah?
Exactly. And, you know, Val, you touched on inspired action, and so I just wanted to go maybe go back and visit about that a little bit more, because it was absolutely, you know, I put in the DVD that came with the card that explained the basic company plan. You know, I mean, it's a network marketing company's DVD, right? And I put it in, and I just got it so strongly, and it was so totally green light, this is it. Will Robinson, are you paying attention? Get on deck here, you know? And so it was with all of that stuff. You know, kind of like when you meet that one that you fall in love with and you're all of a sudden floating and fluttering and stuff. And it was just like, okay, the green lights were everywhere. There wasn't any resistance anywhere, including about the print quality, which really kind of surprised me. You know?
Yes. And you know what else? Share this too, because I think it's important. This is an entrepreneurial viewpoint. As an entrepreneur, which Marion had been, you know, she was a self-entrepreneur even in her photography business and the tax business. So it wasn't like she was changing or transitioning, working. She worked for herself for on and off for, you know, years before she joined them.
I'm unemployable, yes.
And so, but the beauty of it is you didn't just go into this helter skelter. You went and you met with the company. You went and flown. I know that. You know, do your homework. Because that's another thing is that you didn't just trust somebody sending that to you. Mm-hmm. You did your homework with this because you wanted to make sure it was a fit. And
I think
that's real important as an entrepreneur to figure out, does this vehicle resonate with me? That's huge. And that's one of the things we learned as coaches is to find the fit. Because if it's not a fit, you know what? In network marketing, you learn you're going to hit the wall. You're going to hit the wall because you're really actually networking you
absolutely.
More than you are the product. And you get real naked as an entrepreneur. And I just think based on years, you hit the wall. So if it's not something that resonates with you, you're not only are you not going to really be able to go through that inertia that it takes when you first start working with a product, but you're gonna fall apart. And you're not going to be able to get up because you're not connected to something that's like within to hold and anchor you when you're going through all the expansion of growing or using that vehicle and creating success with it. That's with any business, you know. The same thing. The vehicles are different, but they're the same business practices. So do your homework. And I know you did that about that this company. It wasn't just Helter Skelter.
No, you're absolutely right, Bill. Now, I do confess I did immediately sign up, but I didn't start building the business until I flew out to Salt Lake City and sat with the founder, the CEO, and the president, you know, and got to know who they were and got a sense of their vision and where they were and where it was that they wanted to go. And that's when I started putting my name out there as being connected with these people. Up until then, you know, which was maybe a month in between, I was really just kind of, you know, diddling with it. You know, I could have been a customer for that first month. And then I flew out there and really dug down deep. And I don't recommend you do it in that order. It's probably a little bit more wise, but, you know, I was like, gobsmacked. I was in love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, you made
and
that
was another reason I took a minute before I flew out there, because I knew I was gobsmacked and in love. And so I wanted to take a minute to cool down, you know, and then I took my husband with me and made him sit there with me.
Pretty sure he enjoyed that.
Oh, actually, by the end of the day, he was a total fan. But, I mean, talk about when I first told him I wanted to get involved in network marketing, he said, honey, I think I could support you more easily if you wanted to be a streetwalker. And not. So talk about having spousal resistance, you know, so I had to overcome all of that. So I definitely wanted his skeptical, naysaying self there to be with me, you know, because I was in love.
Oh, but I love that.
That's sometimes a really good thing. And, you know, I think we hesitate as network marketers to encourage someone, oh, your spouse is skeptical? Come on, let's all talk. And don't try to sell the skeptical spouse. How stupid
mm-hmm.
can you get? I mean, I'm sorry, I don't want to be dissing anybody, but really, come on, don't try to sell the skeptical spouse. Try to build a relationship here. You know,
yeah.
That's the best shot.
That's beautiful. Well, you know, Maren, you know that people are going through a lot of transitions, and I know that you talk with a lot of people and around what's going on. What are some simple – look at my mouth. We're rounding up the hour, and we have just so loved this because I love the energy and the vibrations that emanate when things are – you know, it's like you can have challenges. Okay, you have them. When you're in love with things that you're doing in your life and they really do honor your values and where you want to go or move towards, the challenges are okay. You almost
mm-hmm.
like you know you take them in stride as part of the process. They don't distract you from where you're going. That's what I've learned. But what are some steps that you can help people in the look of universal laws of attraction that kind of help them transition out of working for someone else into that? Just what's one step that you found has helped you? Well, you've been unemployable for a long time, but I know you talk with people. What's one step that you've helped people in that transition around thinking to be their own boss from working for someone else?
I think very often a missing is not getting clear about, well, why do you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's often a big missing. And if you're not clear about why you want to do that, oh, I want to make a lot of money. I want to make a lot of money. Okay, that's fun. Why? You know, why? And if you have a lot of money, what is it you're going to do? And to get really, really, really clear about that, maybe even first before anything else. Because when you have clarity about why you want something, boy, stuff just gets a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's just, oh, I just, you know, and I can't stand my job is another thing. Oh, okay, how about shifting the focus over to what I'd like to do? You know, we just... earlier walked up the street, there's a brand new little deli grocery that just opened up and got real clarity. This girl had clarity walking in the door before she even went to look for the space about why she wanted a deli, you know, and it started with she loves to make sandwiches. Okay, that's fun, but that's hardly enough of a reason
mm-hmm.
for that kind of undertaking. Oh, dig down a little bit deeper. Her big why is she wants to be that place in the community where people come in and gather and build community. Oh, okay, cool. Now that makes sense. And that's worth whatever it took to get her doors opened, you know?
The byproduct is actually the sandwich.
Exactly.
The vision is about the community, and as a byproduct, you can come in and eat a sandwich. But more importantly to her, wow, that's huge spotlight in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I can remember what they say. Is it Randy Kroc? Oh, gosh, I can't remember his name. McDonald's guy. It wasn't really about the hamburger.
Oh,
it was
right.
About the real estate.
Right.
He had a vision.
Mm-hmm. Was that in our coursework together, Val? Because I know the same story. What kind of
I can remember about what it was. It was in the real estate business. It had nothing to do with hamburgers. And it's funny because Prime Real Estate, he rented the facilities out. That was such a crack up to learn. Oh, you know, and he manifested his vision for sure. So, well, I just love this, Maren. It was so, you know, we're coming up on the hour, and I just want to thank everyone that joined us today. And
yes.
Maren, thanks, honey, for coming out and celebrating with us. You know that success can happen, and ease and joy and fun. I think the world needs to hear more about these processes, especially when people are really connected to not only trusting their inner self, but also seeing out there what they can attract from that process. And everybody, if you want to learn more about Maren, please go to sendoutcards.com/Maren, M-A-R-A-N. That's www.sendoutcards.com/Maren. She will help assist you not only in creating magic, but she'll give you a complimentary free card to send to one of your loved ones just in time for the holidays. I have to say that people send me cards here, and I got to play with these, and it's fun because at the flick of a fingertip on a keyboard, you don't have to go out in traffic. You don't have to make any guesses. You can just at your leisure join and find, and it's easy. And then your loved one gets a card in the mail and goes, oh, my gosh, how cool. I still love getting cards in the mail. So
I know.
Anyone, sendoutcards.com/Maren. She'll help give you that complimentary
gift.
I'll
put it in the chat, too.
Yes. And we so love you listening, audience. Thank you so much for joining us and Maren today. Be sure to come back for the Tweak of the Week coming up next week. Many blessings to you. And remember, who you are is more important than all the hats you wear as a human being. Thank you so much. Maren, we love
you.
Hugs and
yes,
kisses.
Yes, Maren, thank you. It was fun.
It was so much fun. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Come back and talk with us again, baby.
Oh, it'd be fun. Take care, guys.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, everybody. Love,
bye-bye.
Love.
Bye-bye.